Good many years ago, when I was spending my first of 7 years in college, I met a young gal, and I wanted to date her, but she was already dating a couple other characters on campus who really didn't amount to much. Problem was, I was there on an athletic scholarship to play ball, and these guys were in the glee club, and they were philosophy majors, and you know, what fellowship has light with darkness? And I just couldn't get her out of that dark cellar. And then she was involved with an organization in Dunamis Club. Does that sound familiar, Lila? Alpha Omega. And she had certain commitments. Then I found out that this was an organization called the Navigators. And that scared the socks off of me. Even my old sweat socks got scared. If you guys can believe that. But God is very gracious, and for some reason or other, why she fell in love with me, and I fell in love with her in 1943, why we were married. And she put up with me for quite a while, just in faith that I would get squared away with the Lord. She's not only the girl I love, she's my best friend. And oftentimes you can be in love with somebody and yet have other people who are your friends. And I just want to say thanks to Warren and the crew here for inviting Marion along too, because it means a lot to me, and it means a lot to any fellow if his wife can come along and share in the ministry. And really it was through Marion that I got going for the Lord. And I'm so grateful for a wife, the mother of our four children, who has stood by. And I'd just like to have you meet her. I love to hear her share her testimony. She's not a woman preacher. I won't let her, but because I'm the head of the home, and I want you to know I come out from underneath the bed anytime I want. Come on up. We don't have much money, and these are real patches.
Well, I hope you know when to believe him and when not to. I don't. It really is a joy to be able to travel with Bob now, some that our children are all grown. And I couldn't help but think last night when he mentioned that becoming a faithful man doesn't happen overnight. We live in a day, you gals know, when everything is instant pudding and instant mashed potatoes and instant everything else. But I can give testimony that it didn't happen in my life in an instant. That somehow God uses the process of time to mold us, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so glad that when we learn a verse, or when the Lord reveals something to us from His Word, we don't always know all that's involved in that verse. I came in contact with the Navigators, as Bob said, when I was a sophomore in college. I saw a group of girls that had what I wanted. And those were the days when they handed you 108 verses at once. They didn't have all the cute little guidebooks with the clever little man and all the helps that told you how to go about it. But one of the verses that's still in the Bible, and that was in that first little group of verses, was Hebrews 13:5, that many of you know, that says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I didn't comprehend when I learned that verse way back then the full significance of the faithfulness of God. I was privileged to be born into a Christian home. My parents became Christians when I was about 8 or 9. And so I early learned the truth of the gospel. and gave my heart to Christ at an early age. But looking back now, I can see how faithful God was to me. I have an older sister who was already a teenager by the time my parents became Christians. She never has accepted Christ as her Savior. And so I thank Him for His faithfulness to me in my early years. Looking back, I can see His faithfulness to me in my teen years, when I wasn't even aware that I needed to make a decision for right or wrong. The Holy Spirit was there in faithfulness, guiding me, protecting me, and keeping me, even when I didn't have the wisdom to make the right decisions. And then I thank the Lord for His faithfulness to me, even when I was unfaithful to Him. Many of you know the verse in 2 Timothy that says, "Even though we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself." I've not always been the kind of a woman that Bob would have you believe I am. I remember early in our married life when he came home one night and he announced he was out of a job. Well, we lived from paycheck to paycheck, and that was a very serious announcement. And while he could go to bed at night and sleep, I could not. And I had to worry. Somebody had to be concerned about the situation. And I remember one night I got up and got my Bible, and the Lord led me to Psalms 55, where it said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And it was such a convicting thought, because my first reaction was, "I'll just pack up the kids and go home to my folks. They'll take care of me. They'll feed us until Bob finds another job." And on the strength of that verse, we sat where we were. And those were the beginning days of seeing God move in our lives. It was a hot summer day. Bob was off traveling, speaking somewhere. I was pregnant with our second child, and I was canning corn. And a telephone rang, and it was the NAV representative in the area with whose wife I had been meeting. And she said, "We have some friends coming to help us build our house. And we don't have any place for them to stay. Could they stay upstairs in your house?" And I've since learned you don't react this way. But I said, "Well, I'm canning corn and the place is filthy. If you want to come clean it, they can stay here." And they did. And in the they hadn't arrived by the time I went to bed, and so I left the front door open. And I got up again in the morning worried, because I had an insurance bill on the desk and we didn't have enough money to pay for it. And pretty soon I heard steps coming down the hall, and here was a young man, and he had a baby bottle in his hand, and he very apologetically said, "Could I ask you for a bottle of milk for the baby?" He said, "We'll get out to the store in a little while, but if we could just have a bottle of milk for the baby." And I said, "Yes." And in his other hand, he had an envelope. And he said, "We got our mail last night, and we received this, and we'd like to give it to you for letting us stay here." And with that check and with what we had, I could make the insurance payment. That man was Charlie Riggs. And Charlie and LaRue lived with us most of that summer. It was Charlie who got Bob established in a quiet time, put a ladder on his Bible. And I often look back and thank God that even in my unfaithfulness, He was faithful to use circumstances to work out His perfect will for our lives. I'm also thankful for the faithfulness of God this morning, because He's promised to go with us through things. That He doesn't touch us on the head with a magic wand and produce godliness or the faithfulness that we're considering this weekend, but He uses our everyday circumstances. I understand that when Bob was in Holland, he shared with you some of the things that God was going with us or through us with. And He must have shared with you about our oldest son, because many of you have asked me about him. And I wouldn't have you believe that everything in the Christian life has a Pollyanna ending. But that boy has come back to God. When he was home at spring break, Bob reminded Bob Jr. of the day he slammed the door, spun his wheels out through the cattle guard, and we didn't hear from him for some time. And he asked his daddy, how old were you when you received, when you got squared away with God? And Bob said, 30. And he said, I've got a few years to go. Bob will be 29 in September. Bob is in a Bible study with Tom Darnell with some graduate boys at Cornell University. He has his own evangelistic Bible study with some non-Christian buddies. And I stand here praising God for that this morning, and I'd like you to praise God with us. We have another boy for whom you can still pray. But in the midst of children, God taught me another thing about faithfulness, and that is that there comes a time in our lives, in the lives of those you love, and even your children, when you have to turn them over to the faithfulness of God. And a verse that I've held on to tenaciously is Isaiah 59:21 in the Living Bible, which says, As for me, this is my promise unto them, saith the Lord. My Holy Spirit shall not leave them. I will teach them to want the good and hate the evil, they and their children and their children's children forever. After we had gone through many hard things in our lives, I thought, well, now surely God is through. And I've learned something about his faithfulness. But you know, that isn't so. We never stop learning. And the Lord called my attention to a verse in Isaiah that says, This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And I'm learning continually that the secret of the Lord's faithfulness with us is our submission to the fact that I am his servant. And he chooses to show forth his praise through me in the way it pleases him. And I used to think that only my successes glorified the Lord. But I'm learning that he can also praise his name through my failures and through my weakness. It makes sense now that Paul said that when I am weak, then am I strong. When God's grace is sufficient. And so I stand here this morning giving praise to God for his faithfulness to me. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness.